Like to start off just by thanking Andrea for having the courage to share her story, and how hard that is. And I want to share, I guess, one of my stories too that is hard in its own ways, because I guess it's somewhat embarrassing. It's a little bit more lighthearted, I guess, but it's about when me and Lacey have guests over to our house, because we often host people. And when we have people coming over to our house, usually we'll spend a good chunk of time trying to clean up the house and tidy it up to make sure that it's more presentable for when our guests come over. And usually it's like 10 minutes before they come over, and we're still rushing around trying to clean up the last bit of messiness in our house. And we're just praying that the person doesn't come early. And so if you ever come over to our house for dinner, please do not come early. It stresses me out. So we're rushing around hoping they don't come early, and we're taking the last bit of mess and we're like shoving it into like any cupboard that has free space, and we're shoving it behind the furniture, and that's why we always lose things, because we're like, it probably, we shoved it under the couch just before they came over to try to get it out of the way, and then we forgot where we put it. And so we do this, and then the doorbell rings, and then we're just like, okay, trying to make sure everything's in order, like, is everything good? Okay, fine. And then we go, and then we answer the door. And I guess it's funny, but also like when I say it, it sounds kind of silly, like when I say it out loud. And I think it sounds silly because I realize that I do this because I'm trying to present myself better in the eyes of people than I really am, right? That's essentially what I'm trying to do. I want them to think that I'm cleaner and tidier than I really am, and or that I'm less messy than I really am. Does this describe you somewhat? Are there things that you do sometimes in your lives, maybe it's not this exactly, but some things you do to try to clean yourself up, to present the best version of yourself, or put your best foot forward so that people will think you're less messy than you really are? Are you like us and you clean up the house really quickly before people come over? Or do you wear tons of makeup to try to hide your flaws or to hide your old age? Do you always try to put on a smile when people are talking to you, even though on the inside you're actually quite sad or you're hurting or you're angry? Do you always say yes to everyone because you're afraid that if you say no, then they're going to think you're just an uncaring person? Or maybe they'll just think less of you in general. Are you struggling to believe some things about God or about your faith that you grew up with, and you're afraid to admit that because you think that your family or your faith community is going to think that you lack faith? And so when you're having those discussions, you just give the Sunday school answers that you know that everyone wants to hear. Is there someone that you need to apologize to, but you can't bring yourself to do that, because in order to do that would actually admit that you did something wrong and you're not as put together as you'd like to think? I've known some people that avoid getting together with others to do things because they're broke. And they don't want to admit it, and so they always make up excuses and different things so that they don't have to go out, and they end up kind of isolating themselves. Whereas if they were just to be honest about their situation, that they're under crushing debt or whatever, they would probably find the help that they need and that they're looking for. Whatever it may be, I think we all have a tendency to want to look less messy than we really are and want to present ourselves sort of falsely to the world. However, the Bible tells us that, the Bible says that this is no way to live our lives. And that's good news to us. And what's also good news is that the Bible actually shows us a better way that we should live. See, in Jesus' time, there were some people that were very clean. They were seen as cleaner than the rest of people. They were seen as more honorable, more worthy of respect. They were the sort of religious leaders of the time. Some people call them scribes or Pharisees. And Jesus talks about them in the Bible in Matthew chapter 23. And it's very insightful what he says here. So I'd like to read it to you from God's Word. Then Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads, cumbersome loads, and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done to be seen by others. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So what Jesus is doing here is he's showing us just how much these Pharisees want to be seen in the eyes of others, how good they want to be seen, how clean and honored they want to be. For starters, it says right here that they want their phylacteries to be wide and their tassels long. Now, everyone knows your phylacteries don't need to be that wide, right? I mean, you could wear narrow phylacteries, right? I mean, what's a phylactery, right? That's a great question, because that is a question that I asked when I read this. What is a phylactery? So I went to my ancient tomes, and I typed in, what is a phylactery? And I came up with this picture that gives a good illustration of what Jesus was referring to here. This is a picture of a Pharisee. And a phylactery is this thing that he has across his forehead and the thing that he's wearing across his left arm. And basically, phylacteries were like little tiny boxes in which you kept like little pieces of paper that scriptures were written on, and they were held there. Because there's a commandment, actually four times in the Old Testament, that we should bind scripture on our forehead and onto our hands. And they really took this commandment literally. And so they would wear these very wide phylacteries on their forehead so that everyone would know, you know, just how serious they were taking the commandments of God. And same thing with the tassels, because in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 15, God says that you should wear tassels on your clothes so that you can be reminded of the many commandments of God. And so they would wear these really long tassels so people, again, would see just how serious they were taking God's commands. And we see that in verse chapter 7, Jesus is speaking out against them, because he's saying that they love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace. They love to be called rabbi by others. So not only are they wearing these visible signs, but they want other people to address them a certain way. So I want to stand out and I want people to address me. And we don't necessarily know what the word rabbi means, but I looked it up. Again, I typed it into my ancient documents, Google, and it literally means my Lord or my master. So these Pharisees, they want to be addressed as my Lord. Like if they were just in the marketplace and you came up to them and say, oh, please address me as my Lord, okay? So these people really care to be seen a certain way and to be respected by other people. In fact, in verse 5, Jesus says, everything they do is for people to see. Everything they do is done for people to see. That's pretty extreme if you think about it. They're very concerned. And then Jesus, what he goes on to next is he goes on to rip into them about their insistence on being seen a certain way. He says to them in verse 8, but you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. So what Jesus is saying here is that, you know, everyone is equal. He's saying everyone is equal. No one should be called father because we have one father. Everyone is the same father, God the Father. And in God's eyes, we are all brothers and sisters. And so he's saying no one is above anyone else. But the Pharisees, they were guilty of doing the same thing that we're all guilty of. And that is wanting to feel superior to others. Now, if you really had to be honest with ourselves. We all do this. In a sense, we all have a little Pharisee inside of us, right? We all have this like little Pharisee inside of us because we all long to be seen as superior by others. That's why we go to the gym. That's why we hide our imperfections. That's why we are very intentional about the things that we wear. That's why we put our best moments and our best pictures on social media. That's why we scramble to clean up our homes before guests come over, because we want to be seen as superior to others. And so we're always playing this dangerous game of comparison with other people. Maybe even if it's just subconscious, we're playing this game of comparison. And so our own self-worth, our own, you know, establishment has to be, how do we stack up against other people? That's a lot of our self-worth. It's tied up around this. We need validation. And if we don't stack up with other people, we do not feel validated. But Jesus tells us very clearly, this is not the way we should live. He says that each one of us is not better than the next person. That means we're all equal and nobody is superior. And so why bother trying to compare yourself? And Jesus goes even one step further. He says, the greatest among you must be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What Jesus is saying here is, don't go to great lengths to try to exalt yourself, but be humble. Be humble, and by being humble, you'll be exalted. And being humble doesn't mean what some people think it means, to have an extremely low view of yourself. That's false humility, that's false condemnation, that's not what humility is. Humility is having a realistic view of yourself, and having a realistic view of how God sees you, and having a realistic view of God Himself. And the Bible says very clearly how you should view yourself. The Bible says that, hey, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So you see, my friends, we are all, in God's eyes, sinners. For we're all guilty of sin. And His eyes, that makes us all very equal, in that we are all equally deserving of His punishment. And whether it's one sin or many sins, it's all enough to condemn us for an eternity in a bad place, because we are sinning against the great God Most High. And so in that sense, we're all on equal footing. In that sense, we're all much messier than we think. You know, there's a popular thing out there, you're richer than you think. It's a like a phrase out there. Well, you're messier than you think. The Bible even says all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So even if you think you're doing pretty good and you did this great thing, you say, oh, this is my good deed for the day. Even that greatest thing you've done is done with somewhat malintentions. And in God's eyes, it's not enough. We are all on equal footing. We are all in need of God's grace. Yet God was gracious enough to send His one and only Son for us, to die for us, to give His life for us, to pay the price on the cross for us, to draw us close to God, to wipe out our sin. Isn't that amazing? Remember, we didn't do anything to deserve that. It's not because of anything I did, and I'm not particularly better or worse than anybody else, and I'm just as in need of Jesus' sacrifice as anybody else. He did this for me. Right? This is something that is hard to comprehend, but when you comprehend it, you now cannot feel superior to anybody else. How can you? Because you know you're just as messy as everyone else, and just in need of God's grace. And the only reason you are not wiped out right now is because of His goodness. And so you look upon God, and it helps you realize just how great He is. Because He is loving. He loves each and every single one of you so much. That's why it says in John 3:16, He sent His one and only Son for us. That if we believe in Him, we should have eternal life. Because He loves us. Because He is good. Because He is awesome. Because He is gracious. Not because you did anything. Not because you're good. But because He is good. And so you'll be struck by how good God is. And lastly, you'll realize also that you are a child of God. Which means you've actually will be exalted. Like, I've been humbling you right now because that's what God's Word does. It shows us we're all sinners, but then it exalts us to a higher place than we could ever be exalted by all of our good works and all of our posturing and all of the best pictures and all of the best whatever deeds and whatever. Because God's Word says, because of what Jesus did, you are now sons and daughters of God Most High. Now, what is higher then I'm a child of the God of the universe. There was surely no position higher than that. And what could you ever do on this earth with your life that could earn you the right to be the child of the God of the universe? Surely only something that God himself did for us because he's so good. And so he has humbled us, but then he has exalted us. And that is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says in verse 12, those who humble themselves will be exalted. When you come to the realization that you are much messier than you think, then you will be humbled. And in that humility, you will receive God's grace and realize how amazing he is. Give him the glory, and then he will exalt you to a place that is higher than you could ever be. Do you realize how amazing that truth is? That is a life-changing, powerful truth. And that is the truth of the gospel. That is the gospel, which is the center of the whole of Scripture that the Bible is trying to communicate to us. That is the story of the history of our earth. That is the story of humankind. That is the backdrop of the universe. And it's then and only then when you truly grasp this truth that you are a sinner saved by grace and that you are a child of God now, it is only then that you can finally fulfill what Jesus is actually commanding us to do in this passage. This is the crux of what Jesus is telling us. The greatest among you will be your servant. You see, we're all called to serve. But what Jesus is saying is we're not called to serve like the Pharisees, to serve from a perspective of the rabbi, the Lord, the master, but from a perspective of the servant. We are to serve humbly, for a servant is never going to be above the one that they serve. Never. And yet we are to have the perspective of a servant. So many times I think religious people, when they go and they serve people, they do it out of perspective of like, I'm a clean person, and I'm coming to you, a dirty person, and out of pity, I'm serving you, so perhaps I'll maybe be able to help you and help you just to be a little bit more like me. And then I'll just pat myself on the back. However, Jesus is telling us that this posture, that's a posture of pride. That's a posture of self-exalting yourself. That's the posture of the Pharisees. He says the posture that we, his followers, are to have when serving someone is a posture of humility that does not see ourselves as superior to the other person, but sees ourselves as the same as the other person, on equal footing, just as messy as them. And that changes everything. Because if you do that, you won't have this high perspective, like I'm helping you out of pity, but you're coming down and you see yourself as a fellow sojourner, someone who's there to walk beside you, who also is desperately messy and desperately needs the love and forgiveness of God just as you do. And when we adopt this true mindset of humility, all of a sudden our service changes. It changes the very nature of our service. Instead of serving people out of pity, we now serve them out of empathy, right? Because we relate to them as one-on-one. Our motivation for serving people is now love and compassion. It's not doing it because we will feel better about ourselves or we feel like it's something we ought to do. It totally changes this from a sense of this is an obligation, something I must do or should do, to this is an opportunity to serve, something I get to do for Jesus because of what he did for me. That changes your perspective. And it takes away this proud and judgmental attitude and allows us, this is an amazing thing, it allows us to actually have respect, mutual respect, for the one that we are serving. And you realize that's powerful because people always pick up on that. People will pick up when you serve them. They will pick up on, are they respecting me or do they disrespect me? And listen, it is hard to receive service from someone when they disrespect you or when they feel they are superior to you. But when you serve someone from a real mindset of I respect this person and I don't see myself as superior to you, then allows the person to actually receive your service while maintaining their own dignity and self-worth. And that's a powerful thing. To be able to serve from an attitude of humility allows the person to receive your service. And most importantly, it gives God the glory. Because it totally takes the focus now away from the one serving onto God. And people won't see you and the things you do, and not even you will see that. You will see God, and they will see God through you. And so when you're serving someone, let's say in our food bank or in our clothing loft, I mean, we have to step off our high horse. And you have to see yourself, you have to see your own messiness in the other person. When someone shares a struggle with you, I mean, don't be quick to, share your own experiences and how you went through the same thing, but you conquered it. And this is my advice for you. But just listen to that person. Actually listen to what they're saying and walk alongside them. See what they need. And most of all, and this is most important, I want to really drill down on this, is take down your masks before other people. Right? That's humility. Just taking down your masks. Here would be my challenge for you this week. I try to give a challenge every once in a while to you. And my challenge would be, do not do or say anything that is going to make people think that you are better than you are. Just take off your masks. And I think you'll be very astonished by what you find. Because people, people, they celebrate your strengths. That's true. But they relate to you in your weaknesses. Why? Because they share those same weaknesses, right? They share them. And so when you open up your weaknesses to someone, you will find very astonishingly, they also open up their weaknesses to you. And now you have a relationship, right? You have a commonality between each other. And you can help each other and walk together. A year ago, I remember I was at a conference. It was right about this time. I was at this conference for a few days with a group of people I didn't know. I hadn't met them before. And I became known for something I said. I said, be as dumb as you are. I said this to someone, if you know something about me, when you ask me something and I don't know the answer, I'll just tell you that I don't know. Right? I'm not going to try to like BS you or make up some story or try to like talk in circles to kind of cover up my stupidity in any way. And I remember I was talking to someone in this group, and I asked them a question. They didn't know the answer. It became evident pretty quickly. But instead of telling me this, they kind of started talking in circles, and they were just feeding me a bunch of gibberish. Eventually, I stopped them, and I said, just be as dumb as you are. This may sound mean, but we had somewhat of a relationship at this time. And they had a good laugh, and I had a good laugh. And it sort of became like a catchphrase for our time at the conference. And so everyone started saying, just be as dumb as you are. Just be as dumb as you are. It was a bit of a joke we had. But there was something about that phrase that was actually very powerful. There's something powerful about being just as dumb as you are. Because it's about this humility, about just seeing yourself as you really are, and not trying to put on a mask or to posture. And so, once we started using this phrase, it seemed like all the masks came down, and people stopped posturing in front of each other, and we just became real. And we ended up building such a strong relationship just amongst that little group, even though we were only together for a little while. And it was because we were able to go to a much deeper depth because we took away the masks, took down the walls, and we were just real for each other. We were just as dumb as we are. Now, one of those people at that conference was our associate pastor, Zach. It was the first time that we had met, and we built a strong bond during that time together. And one of the things I really admire about Zach is that he's one of these people that has this humility. That one thing you're going to find out about him is that you get the sense he's not trying to wear masks or put up masks, and he's just being who he really is. He's just open and honest about his mess. And this really is a humility, I think, that comes from knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and just being confident in who God is and who you are and what he's done for you. And so you have nothing to protect and nothing to prove. And this is something that my wife Lacey and I are trying to do more and more. We're trying to live this out, trying to take down our masks and just to be honest about who we are in front of other people. And as we've been doing this, we've noticed some really astonishing results. If you recall back to the story I shared at the beginning of the message about how we always tried to clean up before people came over, well, hosting is something that we often do. Me and Lacey love to do this because we really generally want to share all the benefits of knowing Jesus that we have. And so we want to share it with people that don't know Jesus, and we know the best way to do that is through relationship. And so we're always hosting people because we think it's important to get together with other people who don't know Jesus. Unfortunately, when you have to have your house at a certain level, right, of cleanliness or whatever, to have someone over, it becomes a bit of a limiting factor. It becomes a burden. We used to host people a lot, but as time went on, we began hosting less and less because, it seemed like so much work. Especially once you have kids, because, kids, they take a lot of time and energy, and kids are generally messy. And I can remember one day we didn't have time to get the house clean because it was a particularly crazy day. The kids were running wild and they had totally trashed the house. And so when the person came to the door, I was like really stressed out. And I remember even thinking of like, I was even thinking about canceling the whole thing. Because I was thinking to myself, like, what is this person going to think about me? Like, how is this condition of my house, how is that going to reflect upon me as a person or how they see me? And so they came over in all the messiness of our lives. And we ended up having a really great time, actually. That night, we connected with those people probably more than we had connected with anyone in a very long time in our house. And at the end of the night, when they were ready to leave, I remember they turned to me and Lacey, and they said how refreshing it was to come over to someone's house that wasn't immaculate. You know, that was very interesting because they said, you know, it's so relieving to us because we have kids too, and life is really messy, and our house is often a mess. And it's nice to know that there's other people out there too like us and that you also, you know, have this. And they said it really relieved their sense of burden because they always felt like they were burdening us or other people when they went over to their house because they knew that this person would have to go around and, like, clean up and cook a special meal and do all this stuff, and they didn't want to put us through that. And they get the sense that we didn't really go out of our way this time. They didn't know it was by accident, but they felt like they weren't putting us out by coming over. And they said it was actually very relieving to them too because they admitted that they often don't host people very often at their house because of this expectation that has been created that they have to have their house a certain way. Expectation created by people like Lacey and me that have clean houses when they come over. And they said now they're much more likely to host people because they don't feel like they have to go through all this extra effort to get ready. And so when we heard this, it was very impactful to us, and it was meaningful, and we'll often refer back to this conversation, and it really revealed a lot of things to us because we realized in that moment that we'd been doing things wrong. We had totally been doing things wrong. We'd been making a huge mistake because we'd been putting all this effort to try not to look very messy, but we realized that by doing that, we were actually setting ourselves up for failure because what we wanted to do was to connect with other people. But as soon as the person came over and they entered our house, we set the stage for the meeting. And that was insincerity and mask, right? Because obviously our house is not usually that clean. And they come over and they go, oh, I guess we're wearing masks now. I guess we're wearing masks for our time together because clearly your house smells like pumpkin spice. And I can tell that the carpet is bulging here. You've put the toys under there. You know, they know, and so they put their masks up. And so what happened is that we would go through the rest of the night with walls up, and we would never really truly connect. So needless to say, Lacey and I, we've totally changed our philosophy. And now our philosophy is let's just do life together, which means we're going to do our life, and you're welcome to come in for a time and do life with us. But you're going to see our house as you would normally see it, and you're going to eat the same food that we would normally eat. That's how it's going to be. And we're not going to bring it to the table. You're going to have to go and serve yourself because, hey, we got to get our kids set up. And it's crazy. So I tell you, it's been so freeing to us, you know, to have that mindset. And so that would be really my encouragement to you is just to, even just for a week, you know, or one occasion, just try taking your masks off and just see how it is. And just be real honest about the messiness of your life. So don't try to cover it up or to make yourself look better than you really are. My friends, you're messier than you think. Why bother prettying yourself up? Because one thing I've learned is that when we wear a mask and we only present the best version of ourselves, it actually limits the love we can receive. Did you know that? Because when someone loves us or we feel loved by someone or accepted or whatever, we know that they're only loving a prettied up version of ourselves. Are they really loving me? And would they really still love me or accept me or think I'm funny if they really knew the truth? Like if I was just myself, would I still be liked? But Jesus loves you just as you are. Realize that Jesus sees everything. Everything. And you wouldn't come before him try to pretty yourself up. So why come before others? When we can really be who we are, we can then receive genuine love and we can give genuine love. And so this is my encouragement to you, to heed the teaching of Jesus, to come alongside and serve people from a true attitude of humility, not superiority. So what I'd love to do is I'd love to just pray for you right now, because I believe our God is alive and powerful and He's at work in your lives and He helps us. For we know there's nothing good in us. Even our best acts are like filthy rags before God. So He needs to actually help us to do this. He actually needs to gift us humility. And any humility we have, it comes from Him, the Father of humility. Jesus, the one who was the most humble person that ever walked this earth. So I want to pray for you that He helps you in this. God, I want to pray for these people. I pray for them, God. And I ask that You would pour out Your Holy Spirit and be gracious to them. Give us humility, Jesus. Give us Your humility. Conform us to Your image that we could be more like You, Jesus. We just want to be more like You, but we struggle. We struggle with insecurity and we want to put up these walls and these masks and we want to, like the Pharisees, we want to look a certain way and have people address us a certain way. We want to hide the messiness. Well, Lord, would You help us to overcome that? Would You remind us that we are Your children, that You approve of us, and if You approve of us, it doesn't matter what other people think. Like, take the truth, Lord, about what your word says about who we are and what You've done for us and how valuable we are to You. And take that and just sink that down into the soil of our souls, that we would know that, and that out of that would come this extreme self-confidence, this God-fidence in You, that we would then feel vulnerable enough to be vulnerable in front of others. That we would walk with others in the mess as one of them, to help them, to empathize, to listen. Lord, help us to do this so that when people look at us, they wouldn't see like Pharisees, but that they would see just Jesus. Someone there walking in the mess as one of us. Out of love and compassion. Give us that love and compassion so that every time people will see You and we give You the glory and the praise and the honor that You deserve. Amen.